You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to the Armchair Fantasy Show, episode 14. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. You can follow the show at Talk Loud Podcast. Of course, you can subscribe to us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, all your normal places. Find us at TalkLoudRadio.com. And, of course, we're streaming on the Going For Two app. All right, guys, we have a great show today. We're going to be talking some dynasty football, talking some rookies, some rookie rankings, some early rankings. Today we brought on the show a friend of mine. He's been on the show before, Ryan Searfoss of the Fantasy Football Connect fantasy page. Facebook page. And he's also on a podcast called Fantasy Football 24/7, which you can also find on iTunes and various podcast sites. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Great, glad to be back. Ready to talk some draft.
Definitely. I'm already getting excited about fantasy football, and it's February. So,
yeah, we just started draft tonight.
Exactly, just started our first draft, official draft, a slow draft email, 16 team. It's going to be interesting. All right, so just give us a quick rundown of you know who you are, what you do. Mention your Facebook page, but kind of talk about it and. You know, if you want to give your Twitter account and whatever.
Yeah, my name's Ryan Searfoss. We have a Facebook page, Fantasy Football Connect. Just get people together, talk some football year round. You can find me at Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast Dynasty Edition, and on Twitter at the Commish at Fantasy FB Connect.
Awesome. So you're just pretty much dynasty all around. Do you play any regular redraft leagues or just all dynasty?
I do redraft as well. Yeah.
Right. Good deal. All right, let's go ahead and get to why you were here with the NFL draft a little over a month away. We're just going to talk about some of the rookies here. I know, obviously, it'll depend on where they land as far as where their actual rankings will end up. But we're just going to assume that everyone lands in a good position and will basically start from week one when we do these rankings. Obviously, they'll change quite a bit once the draft actually happens. But I wanted to get in and kind of get these rankings out of the way because I've mentioned this before, but I'm not a big college football guy. Most of these names on there, once you get past like four or five, I probably don't even know what team they play for. So I brought Ryan on as the expert, so hopefully he can impart some good knowledge for the players out there that are kind of like me that don't know much about college until they actually get into the pros. So we're going to go ahead and go through your rankings here. We'll start off with the we'll do QBs and tight ends first, and then after the break, we'll do the receivers and the running backs. So let's go ahead and jump into your QBs. Go ahead and give us your top five first, and then we'll talk about them a little bit.
All right. At number one spot, I have Josh Rosen from UCLA is my number one QB. Then I have Baker Mayfield at the number two spot from Oklahoma. Sam Darnold at three. Lamar Jackson, four. And then Mason Rudolph at five.
Nice. Okay. All right. So let's assume that each one of these guys is going to be starting, you know, week one. Is the number one guy the guy you have the most confidence in, you know, as far as a week one starter first year? Is he going to make a fantasy impact if he lands it with a good team? Or is there somebody else on that list that you would prefer year one?
Year one, I believe Josh Rosen has the best chance to come in, start. He's the most polished quarterback coming out. He has textbook fundamentals, so if you were making a video showing how to play quarterback, he'd be what you used.
Nice.
He can step into any system. He played in a pro-style offense at UCLA, and he has good arm strength. He makes all the throws. I think he can step in wherever he lands and make a huge impact.
Nice.
A lot of the other QBs, I think, need a little bit of work. I think if Lamar Jackson would find himself in a starting position somewhere, his running ability would make him an impact in dynasty or in fantasy football formats just for the fact he can get some yards with his legs.
Definitely. Now, we always love those running quarterbacks in fantasy football. We get those high floors when they get those rushing yards as well.
Oh, definitely.
All right, let's go ahead and look at sorry, I lost my place here. I was looking for your email so I can look at your top five, but I can't seem to find it for some reason. All right, let's go ahead and just go through some pro comparisons here. I know you got a couple guys on your list that, you know, you can compare to NFL quarterbacks. Go ahead and go through some of those pro comparisons real quick.
Started a little bit after Rosen. Baker Mayfield's been the big one that's gotten compared to players who he shouldn't be. The name Johnny Manziel gets thrown around a lot with him, which it's not the case at all. He was a run first quarterback, didn't really make reads, wasn't as accurate as Mayfield. Who I compared Mayfield was Russell Wilson. He may not have the running attribute, but he has the ability to create space with his legs, being he's a little bit shorter, and he's always looking downfield to make the pass. And he's ridiculously accurate, having two straight seasons of 70-plus completion percentage and never had double-digit interceptions in his 4 years as a starter. He's going to translate well to the next level for the league. Sam Darnold, who had a three spot, he's not as polished as the other quarterbacks. He forces the ball. He has a long windup. But he has all the raw talent in the world. Kind of saw him as more of a Jameis Winston type.
Okay.
Where he's just a big body guy who can make plays, but still needs a little bit of work to get where we want him to be.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson's a hard one. A lot of people compare him to Michael Vick, but we all know Vick was one of a kind. But I guess he's still that's the closest thing to him, because he is absolute machine rushing the ball, and he can throw just as well. And has a strong arm.
Nice. Is he a bigger guy, or is he kind of like built like Vic?
He's 6'3", like maybe 190.
Okay.
They claim he's 200, but I don't know if I believe that.
So probably got to worry about injuries with him, or is that not the case?
He stayed pretty healthy, and he's outrushed in the last two seasons every top running back we have on this list today. So he's right in the thick of things, taking hits, because he didn't really have much help around him.
Nice, nice. All right, are there any QBs that are outside the top five that could end up being, you know, a top five guy by the end of the season?
The big one's probably going to be Josh Allen. A lot of people are very high on him. There's even talks about him going number one overall to Cleveland. Me personally, I don't see it, because he's completely raw and makes a lot of bad decisions throwing the ball, but he has as strong as arms you'll ever see in a quarterback. I personally like Kyle Lauletta as kind of a little sleeper pick. He really showed up in the Senior Bowl. He's from Richmond, so a lot of people haven't heard of him. He's very accurate. He can make the throws, kind of almost Alex Smith-esque with his accuracy and good decision-making.
Nice, nice. Another pro comparison there with Alex Smith thrown into the mix. Of course, you mentioned Kyle Lauletta plays in Richmond, and now Alex Smith is now in Washington, D.C., and I live right in between the two. So it's interesting.
Did not realize that when I said it.
All right. So that wraps up the quarterback, unless you wanted to touch on anything else before we move on to the tight ends.
No, that's good for the QBs.
All right. So that wraps up the QBs there. Let's go ahead and move into the tight ends here. I want to save running back and receiver for the last. Now, with the tight ends, I know last year was considered a very strong draft for tight ends. They had a lot of big names that are coming out. A lot of guys, I think at least two tight ends were drafted in the first round of most rookie drafts. How does this tight end compare to last tight ends, the draft class compared to last year?
If you're looking for it to be like last year's draft, it's going to be a little bit disappointing. Last year had guys like O.J. Howard and Ingram, who were just ridiculous athletes. Even David Njoku on that. And receiving-wise, none of the tight ends this year are going to make that kind of impact or have that kind of skill set who are going to be running ridiculous and out-jumping the world. But there's definitely some talent, some guys who could find their way onto NFL roster and make some impact.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and
give first round dynasty picks.
Gotcha. Go ahead and give us your top five here of those tight ends.
I have Dallas Goedert in my number one spot. Mark Andrews at number two. Hayden Hurst at number three. Mike Gesicki at four. And Troy Fumagalli at five.
Nice. Now you said that there was no tight ends going in the first round in Dynasty. What about high second? Anybody worth the high second round pick in this group of tight ends?
If Dallas Goedert shows the athleticism at the combine that he looks like he has in his tape, he could be somebody who could sneak into that early first, early second to mid second round. He's from South Dakota, so there's a lot to be. You have to find out about him, but he's huge. He's 6'5", 260. He's athletic. A lot of people and experts have compared him a little bit to Zach Ertz.
Okay.
But he's still going to be a work in progress, but working on the blocking, getting himself into the mix as a tight end of the next level. And then Mark Andrews is extremely athletic and fast for the size he is. He's coming from Oklahoma. He was Baker Mayfield's top target last season. He won the Mackey Award for top tight end. And he's produced. It's just, where is he going to fit? And if he's going to get in a team that's going to find out the right way to use him and what he can do learning the systems.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know one thing I will say as far as tight ends go in their first year, I think tight end is probably the hardest position to transition from college into the pros. If you look traditionally at a tight end's first year, they typically don't do that well. I think Gronk had a pretty good season his first year, but guys like Jordan Reed struggled his first year. Jimmy Graham struggled his first year. Trying to think of a few other names. Zach Ertz, you know, he had a couple years where he wasn't any good. He just now kind of burst onto the scene. So I think tight end, if you're looking to get a tight end in Dynasty, you're thinking 2 or 3 years down the road. Not too many of them make an impact in year one. Just wanted to kind of put that out there as sort of a strategy. If you're looking at tight ends, you can probably wait, you know, until the second, third, you know, late second, early third rounds before you even think about tight ends.
Definitely. I mean, we're still waiting on Eric Ebron to show up.
Exactly. And like I said, Zach Ertz, I actually drafted Zach Ertz in my Dynasty League 2 years ago. So this year was, you know, when it finally paid off, he finally had his breakout season. He kind of did a little bit towards the end of last year where he looked like he was going to be big. And then this year, of course, just took it to another level. He was almost in the Gronk level this year. So happy with that. And I also drafted O.J. Howard this past season. So he showed a few flashes during the season. You know, he still kind of played in the shadow of Cameron Brait. But I think eventually I'm going to have two pretty good tight ends with Zach Ertz and O.J. Howard on my Dynasty team. So I'm pretty happy with that.
I agree. I think O.J. Howard is still going to end up being better than the Evan Engram is.
Yeah, I agree. I saw the athleticism, you know, the few games that he did play and actually showed out. You know, he seems to be that next big guy. So I'm hoping that he pans out. Hopefully Winston and company can get their act together, because I pretty much owned like the entire Bucs team this year. I had Winston as my quarterback. I had Mike Evans. I drafted O.J. Howard. I mean, it was like, and then of course the Bucs were terrible, so my Dynasty team struggled accordingly. Just a bad season for me. But I think overall, I think I'm gonna be happy down the road with O.J. Howard. All right, let's do some pro comparisons to these guys. Are there any comparisons at all? I know you said that none of them are first round picks, so it might be hard to compare them. But is there anything at all you want to compare these guys to?
I think Mark Andrews is kind of could be similar to like possibly a Travis Kelce light. He might not be as much of an athlete as him, but he has that similar game plan or that game where he can work the middle of the field and he's athletic enough to keep to be a huge mismatch for teams.
And who was the one you Gesicki? Said was like, you said he was like 6'5", which tight end was that? That your number one Dallas?
Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State.
So is he kind of in that?
Yeah, he's.
You said he was kind of like a Zach Ertz. Is he as a Kyle Rudolph even a good comparison? Being 6'5", and Rudolph is like pretty big guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dallas Goedert might play a little bit better above the rim than Rudolph. His jump ball ability and red zone ability is unbelievable, and his hands, nothing gets through them.
Nice.
Some of the other guys, like Hayden Hurst, is kind of a weird tight end, the way he was used. They used him on end arounds last year and just did tight end screens. It was very strange. I really had a hard time comparing him. And then Gesicki and Fumagalli are just kind of your normal run-of-the-mill tight end who's going to block, get some production, but it's going to be a week-to-week streaming option type guys.
Right. Probably one of those like very touchdown-dependent tight ends that if they don't score a touchdown, they probably weren't worth starting.
Yeah, something very similar to that.
All right. Are there any sleepers there that can, you know, kind of sneak up on and get into this top five at the end of the season?
I have one. I don't know if he's cheating or not. He's listed as a tight end for the combine. That's Jalen Samuels from NC State. He's 5'11" at tight end, but wow. They ran the ball with him. They moved him to the slot. They used him on kick and punt returns, but ran him mostly out of the tight end spot. And he's going to the combine listed at that position. I don't know where he's going to be listed in fantasy, but he's a player who's going to get used on the field and get some sort of and be used as a weapon somewhere. Hmm. He'd be one of those players you could see in the Patriot system, just as a mismatch.
Right. Just doing the sort of the mismatch guy that, you know, that no one can match up with. 5'11" for a tight end. That's going to be tough in the NFL. I think working the middle of the field, you got to have some
height. I agree.
But yeah, I can see him being sort of in that mold.
I did my film review of him as a running back.
Wow.
Wow. And they had him listed as that coming in. That's why I just got, he's kind of a sleeper there to keep an eye on. Even if he's misranked, once ESPN leagues put him up, could be kind of a sneaky move.
Right. There you go. Have basically a running back at your tight end position. You couldn't go wrong with that for sure. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break here, and then we come back. We'll talk some receivers and running backs, which I know everybody wants to talk about. And then if we have time, we'll get into some keep, cut, trade. You ready to do that?
Yes, sir.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit GoingFor2.com because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, welcome back. We are here again with Ryan Searfoss of the Fantasy Football Connect, as well as Fantasy Football 24/7 podcast. All right, Ryan, let's go ahead and jump into these wide receivers. Go ahead and give us your top five real quick.
Number one spot, I have Calvin Ridley from Alabama. Number two, Cortland Sutton from SMU. Number three, James Washington from Oklahoma State. Number four, Auden Tate from Florida State. And number five, DJ Moore from Maryland.
All right. Now I'm looking at some of these consensus rankings on Fantasy Pros, which is still really early. But they actually have Cortland Sutton ahead of Calvin Ridley. So if you want to defend your position on Calvin Ridley, what do you love about him?
What I love about Calvin Ridley is he's a finished product. He's a little bit older than we like to see for a dynasty tight end. He's going to be 24 once in the season coming up, but he's the most polished route runner in the league. They're saying he's going to run. They're predicting like the 4.35 40 range, so he can fly. But his route running is what just sets him apart with his hands. He gets open. He was just in a terrible situation with a terrible quarterback. He was 45% market share of his team, and he only had 65 catches. The next closest receiver on his team was Bo Scarborough, their running back, with 18 catches. So wow. He was literally their only receiving weapon.
Wow, that's crazy. Looking at last year's wide receivers, I mean, they were pretty hyped coming into the year, but overall, I think the rookie class from last year disappointed. You had Corey Davis and Mike Williams with injuries. I think sort of a late round guy, Smith-Schuster from the Steelers, actually ended up being the top fantasy receiver as far as rookies go. Are there any guys in this receiver class that could come in year one and be an impact player in fantasy, like a starter on your fantasy team?
I believe Ridley can be that guy, if just because of how he's already kind of knows every route in the route tree, kind of like how Cooper Kupp made an impact last year, but he's that with elite athleticism. Cortland Sutton, in the right situation, should make an impact. Could be something similar to what we saw with Corey Davis, being he's a big-bodied receiver who should be able to get open in the red zone. James Washington, he's a little undersized, but he knows how to get open, and he could also make an impact. I think there's a lot of guys who could be PPR gold in this draft at the receiver position. It's a lot deeper than last year's, and I think there's a lot more players who could actually boom than we saw last year.
Nice. Would you say the receivers is the deepest position this year, or you think maybe it's another position?
I think it's definitely the running back position, but receiver, I think it's a lot more underrated than than people are giving it credit for.
All right. If we were to divide these receivers into a tier one and tier two, you know, we'd love to do some fancy football where we put these guys in tiers. You know, Gronk was always in a tier by himself as a tight end. And then you had your Jordan Reeds and everything else below that. Where are you putting the line at for tier one, tier two guys?
I'd say under Sutton.
Okay.
I'd say Ridley and Sutton are the first tier.
All right.
And then it's a little bit of a gap.
That's kind of what I'm hearing too. I've kind of, you know, done a little bit of research and, you know, again, not knowing college football, I'm just going on stats and what I'm reading and, you know, rankings and such. It's kind of what I've noticed, that Ridley and Sutton are basically interchangeable as one and two, depending on what site you go to. And then after that, it's a sort of a drop off. They got a bunch of, you know, running backs in the middle there. So yeah, I can definitely see where that tier one, tier two would be right about there. Let's do some pro comparisons. Any pro comparisons for your receivers here?
For Sutton, I had Alshon. I think he's a big receiver. He's a little bit raw, but I think he'll make an impact in the first year, maybe get 6 to 8 touchdowns, and he could end up being himself a go-to for his quarterback. James Washington was a hard one for me. His comparisons have been all over the place because he's 5'11", but he runs tough and he gets open deep. I've seen Steve Smith. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's kind of the closest thing I've seen.
Okay.
Auden Tate is very similar to Devin Funchess. He's 6'5". He's a monster in the red zone. He jumps pretty much about everybody. And he knows how to go get the ball. He was another one who was just in a putrid quarterback situation at Florida State this year once Francois went down. And he was just – he only caught 60 balls, but 10 of them were touchdowns. But he's a more athletic version of Funchess.
Okay. All right.
DJ Moore for Maryland. His game is very similar to Golden Tate. He kind of works all over the field. He has speed. He cuts on a dime. And he can beat corners in a lot of different ways. I think he can end up being a PPR machine.
Yeah, definitely. Golden Tate is sort of in that mold. That'd be a good comparison for sure. You got any sleepers at the receiver position that can sort of sneak into the top 10 in receivers?
I have Dante Pettis from Washington. He's just a burner. And he has good size. Obviously, has great speed. He works as a punt kick returner. Anthony Miller from Memphis, kind of in the same mold as DJ Moore. His hands might not be as good as Moore, but he has a very similar game. And then probably my favorite of like the second round guys is Michael Gallup from Colorado. He's 6'1", 200 pounds, maybe a little bit shy of that, but he catches everything. He's physical. He's going to be a great safety blanket for quarterbacks this year. They worked him a lot in slants, middle of the field, kind of similar how you saw like Pierre Garçon be used for the last 5 or 6 years. Okay. I think he has a very similar game to that.
Nice. All right, good deal. Anything else you want to say about receivers before you move on to the money position?
I think draft-wise, the receiving group, if you're looking for a receiver after the top two, you have room to move around, move back in the draft to get more picks because they're all so close. It's kind of your flavor of the week. I think it's a great opportunity to just grab more depth in drafts and even leading up to it with trades.
Good deal. Good deal. I'll keep that in mind with our draft that just started today. So maybe I'll trade in because I think I'm going to end up with a very late round, first round pick for rookies because I was at the top of the regular draft and I'm going to be at the very bottom of the rookie draft. So I'm going to have to make some trades to move some things around, I think.
I already got my guy eyed up, but all I'll say is he's brought up on the podcast today at some point.
All right. Not getting away in your secrets yet. Okay, I got it. All right, so let's move on to the running back position. Of course, you know, everyone knows Saquon Barkley. You know, he's the number one position. Is it basically him and everybody else? Or is there a running back like, you know, Alvin Kamara last year that can sneak up into that, you know, and sort of steal that limelight or Kareem Hunt?
I think there's a gap between Barkley and the rest of the group. But I think the gap between him and Darius Geis from LSU is not as far away as people make it out to be. Geis is an absolute monster. He's big, strong. He's played with basically no offense around him, and everybody stacks the box, know he's getting the ball, and he's still dominated, rushed for 1,200 yards, double-digit touchdowns. He was playing behind Fournette before this season and still led the SEC in rushing last year while Fournette was there. And he's played hurt this year, but still produced. I think the only thing that really separates him and Barkley is Barkley's receiving ability because he's basically a receiver out of the backfield. And I'd say Barkley is a better receiver than McCaffrey was last year coming out. Wow. But he's actually a good running back.
That's saying something for sure. All right, I kind of jumped the gun there. We kind of went and I skipped over to your top five. So obviously Barkley 1, Geis is 2. Go ahead and give us the last three there.
Then there's a little bit of a gap after those two. I have Ronald Jones at 3 from USC. And then I have the Georgia tandem at 4 and 5 of Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb.
All right. Good deal. All right. Let's do some pro comparisons. I know you said you really didn't have anybody that can compare to Barkley, but what about some of these other guys? Any pro comparisons you have there?
Geis is a little tough. He's very similar to kind of Marshawn Lynch. He's a very physical runner. He is creative, but he loves lower shoulder. He looks for contact, and he gets stronger as the game goes on. Ronald Jones is a tough one. He has elite burst and speed. The biggest comparison a lot of people say is Jamaal Charles. I'm not quite there yet. I've had a hard time putting a finger on him. But the other two I feel comfortable with. Sonny Michel reminds me a little bit of Tevin Coleman in the fact he doesn't do a lot of lateral movement like juking, but once he gets a hole and forward, he's gone with absolute just elite burst and speed. And Nick Chubb, I was leaning towards Frank Gore. He came back from an absolute catastrophic knee injury his freshman year, as a lot of people know. And he would be at the top, be near the top of the list if that one happened, but he had to adapt his game. And he has some best vision and ability to find the hole of any running back I've ever seen. And his balance is ridiculous. So even with him losing a little bit of a step, he's still been able to produce through savvy, kind of the way we've seen Gore do it for the past decade.
Right. And I think Gore had a big injury in college too. And that's why he slipped down in the draft. And of course, went into the NFL and became sort of an Iron Man and played, I forget how many games he's played straight now, but he doesn't miss games with injuries for very often.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Give us a few sleepers there that we can sort of look for that diamond in the rough, that Alvin Kamara of this year.
I love John Kelly. He was actually Kamara's backup last year. They spent some time in the backfield together. He's a little bit smaller than we like to see, but he runs strong. He finds holes. He can catch the ball. He has a nice burst. Kind of has the all-around game. I know it's a tough person to hear people still brought up to be still brought up nowadays, but he's a very similar game to what Ray Rice used to have for Baltimore.
Okay.
Mark Walton's another one. He's from Miami. He's got a kind of complete game. His other back is a little bit smaller. He'll probably be good in a complimentary role, but he has nice receiving ability, so he should be, still be able to make an impact in some forms and PPR forms. And going a little bit deeper, probably like maybe a third, fourth round dynasty pick is Nyheim Hines from NC State. He's my pick to be the fastest player in the fast 40 time this year. He's absolutely electric. He was used as a receiver, running back, punt returner, kick returner, basically everything they get the ball in his hands at NC State. He could be this year's like Tariq Cohen type guy.
That's who I was just going to ask about was Tariq Cohen, because I actually drafted Tariq Cohen this past season. That's sort of a sore spot because I'll quickly tell the story. But I drafted Tariq Cohen in the last round of my Dynasty rookie draft, and I was all excited about him. And then the first week of the season, when that first game was canceled, of course, I told you I own Jameis Winston and I own Mike Evans. So I had to get, you know, players to fill those spots. So I had to drop Tariq Cohen in order to add people to fill my roster. And of course, he goes off in week one and someone has a higher priority than I do. So I lost him on week one. I was so pissed.
Oh, God. I'm sick just thinking about that.
I was so upset. I thought, oh, I can float him for a week. I'll get him back. No one knows who he is. Of course, he has to have a huge game in week one. Ugh, it kills me every time I think about it.
I mean, the bright spot is after like week four, he didn't do as much.
Yeah, this
but you
is
definitely
true.
Could have traded him for something good.
Well, then what really kills me too is on top of that, just to add insult to injury, you know, his big highlight this season was that long, crazy return that he did against the 49ers. Well, I'm a 49ers fan, so I had to watch him do this crazy, ridiculous kickoff return against my team after I drafted him in Dynasty and then lost him to somebody else. I was so pissed.
That's my favorite spot for Calvin Ridley, by the way, is the 49ers.
That would be nice. I mean, we're kind of stacked at running back, but I don't know if Hyde's going to stick around.
I said for Calvin Ridley, a receiver.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be like, I would love that. That would be awesome. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see. I'm kind of excited this year. I've been sort of down on my team for a while because, you know, we haven't been very good, but after the Garoppolo trade and what he did towards the end of the season, I'm excited about this year and what we can do this year.
Wish I was.
What's your team?
I'm a Ravens fan.
Ravens fan. Hey, Ravens weren't bad this year. They sort of almost made the playoffs. blown it to Andy Dalton.
I can't deal with that offense anymore.
Yeah, it is pretty brutal. Of course, living here where I do, I see a lot of the Ravens games. So, I mean, they're sort of that mediocre, you know, sort of on the cusp, but I think they're on the downturn as opposed to on the up. So I guess we'll see.
New GM after this year?
Yeah. All right, let's play a little keep cut trade. Basically, the rules are I'm gonna give you three players. You got to keep one, you got to cut one, and you got to trade one. Now, some of these players you wouldn't actually own on your team all at once, but it's just fun to kind of see what your thought process is on these guys and as far as what you think their value is going forward. So we'll start here with some receivers. I picked some guys that are a little bit older. We're thinking this from a dynasty perspective. So you want to get them as much value as you can from these guys before they fall off the cliff. But we got AJ Green, Dez Bryant, and Doug Baldwin. Who are you going to keep? Who are you going to cut? And who are you going to trade?
Going to keep AJ Green. I still think he has a couple years left of being an elite wide receiver. He still hasn't slowed down a lot. Doug Baldwin would be my trade. He still has more value and doesn't have that disgusting taste in his mouth like a lot of people have with Dez Bryant. And then, unfortunately, for Dez, I'd have to cut him.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you as well. I think AJ Green still has a few years left in him. I think as long as, you know, he stays healthy, he's going to be a top-tier receiver. Doug Baldwin, I feel like Doug Baldwin's sort of that anomaly where I think, you know, he has those huge games, but I can't never put him in like the elite tier of receivers. But I think people think of him that way, so I think I can probably get the most trade value for him. And Dez Bryant, yeah, I think his best years are behind him. I think Romo, you know, when he was there, was sort of the go-to guy. I think now that that Dak Prescott's there, Dez Bryant is sort of like the number two receiver there and just isn't quite the same guy that he was before.
and they still don't have a number one receiver with him, which makes even less sense.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, let's go to three running backs that are sort of in that quick scat back sort of PPR running backs, but they're not the number one on their team. We got Duke Johnson, Jerick McKinnon, and Chris Thompson. Who are you going to keep? Who are you going to cut? And who are you going to trade?
I'm going to keep Chris Thompson. I think he has a role cut out for him in Washington, and I think what Alex Smith is bringing to the table is being a safe quarterback who likes to dump off the ball in the shorter passes. I think Chris Thompson is going to be the biggest beneficiary of it. I'm going to trade Duke Johnson because I think he's the highest value he's ever going to be. And people still think he are giving second round dynasty picks for him. And then McKinnon, I'd cut him. His situation's unclear, and until people know where he's going to be, his value's down.
Agreed. I think actually the only thing I might do differently is because I live in Washington, I hear all the scuttlebutt here. And Chris Thompson, great player, but I don't think they're ready to hand him the reins. I think they're going to limit his workload because of all the injuries he's had over this, over his history. And I don't see him getting the workload that he's gotten in the past just because they want to keep him fresh. So Duke Johnson, I think, sort of showed last year that he can be a number one. He may not actually get the number one job in Cleveland, but I think he can get enough workload to still be useful for my team. So I'm actually going to try to trade Chris Thompson. I think that his injury history is what scares me away from him. I think if he stayed healthy more often than not, then maybe I'd keep him. But I'm going to try to trade him while his value is as high as it is.
What if Cleveland takes Barkley at one or at four? And
that changes everything.
It changes everything. That changes everything. No value.
Exactly. They would just probably, I don't even know if they would end up keeping him or not. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't want him on my team anymore after that. All right, so the next one, hold on one sec, I got to open my second beer here. All right, so the next one I got here, I got two young quarterbacks that have some good upside but had down seasons this past year. And then I have the embattled sort of comeback story of the year. So the two young guys I have are Marcus Mariota, who of course had a great rookie season, kind of fell off this past season. Jameis Winston, which I had predicted to be a big season this year, I end up trading for him and then be having a bad season. So those are the two young guys. And then the one guy that I had that sort of embattled and sort of came back, that's Blake Bortles. Of these three quarterbacks, who you keeping, who you cutting, and who you trading?
Keeping Winston. I'm still a Winston truther. I think he's the youngest of the group. He's a bit of a gunslinger. And last season, he was hurt majority of the season. From weeks five on, and later in the season when he got healthy, he really showed up. And if they actually get him an offensive line to protect him in a little bit of a running game, I think it'll make the world of the difference for him. And with how raw he was coming out, I think there's still a lot of room to improve. And he's still the second youngest quarterback in the league.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's a good stat there.
Trade Mariota. I think he's young enough. He still has a lot of value. They put weapons around him. And I think a lot of people still believe in Corey Davis. And nobody really knows what to expect out of their new offense. So I'd rather strike while people are questioning it than later. And Bortles, he still doesn't have the value in the fantasy community. He's going to be a streamer who ends up sticking on your team with when you have to get somebody and you just can't find another option the rest of the weeks. That's how Bortles fits in your team. So I'm going to cut him if I have a three now.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. That's exactly how I would go. I'd go Winston as my keep, which I am keeping because I have him on my team this year. So hopefully he shows up.
Luckily, myself as well.
Yeah. So we're going to ride or die with him Winston. And
Trubisky.
Trubisky, nice. I actually ended up being able to add Garoppolo. So actually I got Winston and Garoppolo going into this season. So
see, I added Trubisky.
Nice. I'm a little nervous because I am a 49ers fan and I own Garoppolo, but in my league, I'm kind of known as the quarterback killer because this is how my league has gone. So I drafted Blake Bortles off his huge 2015 season thinking, okay, I'm going to get him and I'm going to get Allen Robinson. I'm going to be good. Of course, he ended up being terrible. So about mid-season, maybe about three quarters of the season way through, I actually traded to get Derek Carr, who promptly broke his leg. And then in the offseason, I make the trade to bring in Mike Evans and Jameis Winston, who both have terrible seasons. So in that week that Winston was out, I think I added Tyrod Taylor, who was good for 1 week for me, but then he got benched. So I dropped Tyrod Taylor. And it was just been a bad quarterback thing for me. So I'm like, all right, now I own Garoppolo. I'm trying to think, should I trade him before I end up getting him hurt or something? Because he's on my real team. So we'll see how that goes.
Gosh, I know the feeling. I have that problem with any Ravens offensive player, but that might be for different reasons. I do have Collins now, and I hope he sticks.
Yeah, he was a surprise. I actually like Collins a lot. He came out of nowhere and was a really good fantasy player this year.
I like him. I hope they don't draft a running back because of him.
Right, exactly. All right, we got one more keep cut trade here, and this is sort of like very hypothetical. If anybody actually owned these three guys, then more power to them. But we got some older quarterbacks here. I wanted to see who you thought had the longest career. We got Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Phillip Rivers. Who are you going to keep? Who are you going to cut? Who are you going to trade?
This was kind of a little weird. I think I'm going to keep Rivers. He's still a little bit younger than the other guys. He has a ton of weapons around him right now. If Mike Williams comes back healthy, he has him. He has Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry. I think everything's there for him to have to throw the ball in that division he's in. And if I think he stays healthy, he'll be around for a little bit. Probably trade Brady. His value is for some reason always high no matter what, even though he's
going to be 41. Yeah, he's going to be 41 this year.
And I guess I'd cut Drew Brees, even though he's my favorite out of all of them.
Yeah, I think if we're talking like 1 year, I think if we're talking this year, I think I might keep Brady. But if we're thinking dynasty and down the road, I'm definitely trading Tom Brady and get whatever I can for him, because I think he's got 2 years tops before he falls off the cliff. And I think his value right now is at an all-time high. Well, I wouldn't say all-time high because he's been pretty much high his whole entire career. But, you know, he had a pretty good season last year. I think he's got a good thing going for this year coming up. So I think I can get a lot for him. I might actually keep Drew Brees only because they sort of added that running game and the defense, which might extend his career a little bit. I think he's 38, I want to say, so he's a little bit younger than Tom Brady. He's not quite the 5,000-yard throw that he was a few years ago. He's got a running game now, so he doesn't have to be that guy. But I think if I can keep Brees, maybe not as my starter, but as my bye week fill-in or injury fill-in guy, because I think I would have drafted a young quarterback by now to my team. I think I'd keep Brees, and I'd cut Rivers. I think the key you said when you mentioned you wanted to keep Rivers is everyone's healthy. And San Diego, it seems like they're bitten by the injury bug every season. I mean, it was like Woodhead 2 years in a row was on IR. It seems like everyone every year is on IR.
Keenan Allen,
exactly. I just feel like that they're never going to be healthy around Phillip Rivers. He's always going to be playing with injured players. So
Mike Williams had coming, and I said that in our last podcast about his neck injury beforehand.
You did. You definitely called that one.
I don't want to say that for anybody. He was already hurt.
Exactly. Yeah, and I got Corey Davis was my rookie receiver that I got last year, and he disappointed as well. But I think going forward, I think I like, you know, Corey Davis.
I've been trying to trade for him and coming up empty. So, yeah, I like him too.
Yeah, I actually made out pretty well last year with my rookies. I was pretty happy with what I got. I ended up with O.J. Howard, Corey Davis, and I got Christian McCaffrey. So I can't complain. I think I'm pretty set for the future with those three guys.
Yeah, I traded a majority of mine.
I actually traded most of my picks to move up because I had a guy in my league that was just terrible. He needed picks, so I just traded, you know, a few picks to him and a few picks to a guy. I kept accumulating picks, and then I ended up getting the second and third overall pick, which I took Corey Davis and McCaffrey. And then come the second round, I see O.J. Howard is still sitting there. So I made a trade to move up from my fourth round pick up into the third round to grab O.J. Howard. So I was pretty happy with my draft for sure.
I would be too.
All right, man. I want to thank you again for coming on the show. We'll definitely have to get you back on after the NFL draft, and we can actually nail down, you know, the situations with these teams and see where everybody's going to be landing and what they're going to be doing for the season coming up. But I want to thank you again for coming on. And again, guys, check him out. It's the Fantasy Football Connect Facebook page. You can also find him at the podcast called Fantasy Football 24/7. Ryan Searfuss, you go ahead and give him your Twitter handle again one more time.
It's the commish at Fantasy FB Connect.
Sweet. All right, man. Well, you have a good night, and we'll be talking to you.
You too. Thanks.